Psalm 42, we'll be reading out of the New King James Version. To the chief musician, a contemplation, or in Hebrew a maskil, of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now it may have struck you, or did me again as I read through this, that this psalm has a lot of repetition. This is the song of somebody, the contemplation of somebody, who's having a conversation with themselves. Somebody that's in deep turmoil, somebody that's being oppressed, having a really bad time of it, talking to themselves and to God at the same time, having a conversation back and forth. Now it starts out, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O my God. And kids, I've never seen a deer pant. I imagine they do, but you know, we think of the dog when they're really thirsty, how they go, you know, tongue hanging out. And how thirsty they are and how they go after the water. The picture here is that's how the psalmist feels about God. He misses him and doesn't feel him with him right now. Wants the presence of God, but just doesn't quite have it. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now think about that. It's not just for God, some abstract thing. The psalmist is saying for the living God, the one that's real, the one that can really do things. But at the moment, how must that psalmist, the person who writes this, the person who prays it, say, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And some texts say, when can I come and see the face of God? It can read either way. This is somebody who can't see the face of God, somebody who doesn't feel there before God, somebody who feels separated from them, from him. My tears have been my food day and night. They're fasting, can't eat. All they have is tears, and they have plenty of those. While they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" Now, this gives us a clue, first off, of who's talking here, who's being spoken of. Remember Jesus as he hung from the cross. The people saying, "If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. Or if God loves you, have him take you down." Mocking him. Where is your God? Now, this is somebody, as I said, that's in the depths of despair, in a pit of despair, and some of us have been in really bad places and felt this way, separated from everyone who loves us, separated from the God who we hope loves us, and not feeling his presence at all. And God's word to us, the psalmist says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. When I remember these, when I feel this way, I cry within myself, and I pray within myself. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now, we miss this idea that they're pointing out here. We don't get it in America, especially in small church, rural America. When you think of the temple in Jerusalem, when they went to the pilgrim feast, pilgrim means traveler, guys. We're not talking about the first Thanksgiving here. We're talking about the 3 days a year when everybody went to Jerusalem and all the men went to the temple. And they'd come out of their little hotels or the people they're staying with or the apartments here, the sleeping room there. And when it's time for the temple service to start, you'd have this whole bunch, the whole mass of the city all walking down the street the same way. all these people going to the same place at the same time to see God, to stand before the face of God and worship. And the fellowship that you would have there, worship hasn't started yet. We've got a mile and a half to walk all together, brothers alike, walking to the temple. Driving down 30 just doesn't get it. You know, it's not the same thing. So he's thinking about when he was surrounded by the people of God, thousands and thousands of them all going to worship the same God, going before the face of God. He remembers those times, in these times when he's feeling separate. So when we're feeling isolated and alone, remember these times, the times when you're together with God's people, when it's evident the face of God before us. And he asks himself a rhetorical question, a question that doesn't demand an answer, but it provokes a thought. That's what a rhetorical question is. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? We know God lives. We know he has made promises to us. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's still in a bad place. Remember that. He's still in a bad place, but he tells his heart, hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the good he's about to do me, is what this says. When can I see the face of God? Here he's saying, I'm going to praise God for the help of his face. I know it's coming. It's just not comfortable yet. We know God will help us, will release us, will take care of our problems. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Just the last verse, he's saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Don't be cast down. And then the very next one, my soul is cast down. This is somebody having a conversation. How many times have you thought, and I know Phil's felt this way, we've spoken about it, you despair, you worry, you're concerned, it's just bad, and you tell yourself, don't do that. No reason to worry. I'm worried. This is what the psalmist is doing. The help will come. But this isn't prosperity gospel. It's not name it and claim it. It takes a while. It's a process. We've got to go through the lows to get back to the highs. There's no magic word that you're going to snap, feel better. It doesn't work that way. But when, now that my soul is cast down within me, I will remember you from the land of Jordan. He doesn't dwell in his despair. He takes his mind up, takes his mind to God, takes his mind to the things he's known in the past. Remember you from the land of Jordan, that's down by the river, and from the heights of Hermon, up in the mountains, to the hill of Mizar, over here in the Midlands. You know, top, bottom, middle. Where is God? He's looking at God all throughout the land. Deep calls unto deep. Now the deeps, they're usually talking about deep water, you know, like the ocean or something. Calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Unless you swam in the surf, this doesn't really make much sense, how waves and billows can go over you. If you ever swam in the ocean and get caught by a wave, it's like, well, it is just irresistible. You can't do anything. So as he dwells upon the word of God, he hears God's voice coming over him and just taking over. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a praise to the God of my life. I will say to my God, well, and so he's saying again, he's back on the up. God will help. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Well, we're back down. And again, this phrasing and this thought should take us back to Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And we think of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed before. He was pretty deep in despair at that point. Mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. As with the breaking of my bones. They never broke his bones. My enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And God was pretty distant from Jesus at that time. Up, down, up, down. And it ends again with, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So, when we're down, isolated and alone, remember the good times, the time when God was evident in your life. I was talking to Phil last week about this. This psalm means a lot to me, and especially when I've been sick for 3 weeks in a row and I haven't been able to be here with you. I can remember the times in the past, and I don't despair entirely. So, It gets better. God has made promises to his people, and as it says here, I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So we're going to praise Jehovah, Yahweh. We're going to sing the first part of 42, 42a.